Well, good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for drawing us here this morning. Thank you for the privilege of being church together. Please help us to know and love you more deeply and to know and love each other more deeply. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Well, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at five essentials for life. We're beginning a new sermon series called Essentials for Life. And if you ask different people, what are the five key essentials that you might need for a human life? You'll get different answers. For example, if you asked a survival expert, he or she would tell you the five essentials for life are, unsurprisingly, oxygen, water, food, shelter, and sleep. And none of us would argue that we need those sorts of things to survive. But I also consulted this strange person called a life coach. And these are the five essentials that a life coach has for life. Nutrition, life rhythm, movement, breathing, and mindfulness. But what if you ask a Christian, someone who has God at the centre of their life? Because for Christians, life is more than just about food and water, let alone movement and mindfulness. So that's what we're going to look at over these next 5 weeks. Our five purposes or five essentials for life. And if you've been around St. Alfred's for any length of time, these will not be new to you. They've been the foundation for our welcome and information gatherings for many years. They've shaped a number of our mission action plans and strategic plans. If you've read Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, you'll recognise them. And recently, they've been the basis for training our growth group leaders. So that's what the 5 weeks is going to look at. Today we're going to concentrate on one, which I've called Getting Connected or Get Connected. It's about Christian community, about family, about belonging, about relationships and friendships. God knows that we need relationships because that's how he's made us. Remember, right at the beginning, God created man and then says it's not good for man to be alone. And so he creates woman. So right at the outset of creation, God creates us for relationships. And then he puts us in families and in communities. And he creates a whole new people for himself when the Lord Jesus comes, which is called the church. And Christian community is one of God's gifts to us to allow us to have relationships. So a local church is not just somewhere you come to attend a Sunday service. It's a community to belong to be part of. And I want to explain this briefly this morning by looking at four biblical images. And I'm asking this question: what's it like to be genuinely connected at a church? So let's just have a look at these four biblical images. First of all, it's like being a brick in a building. When you become a Christian, you become part of a spiritual building. Look again, if you have a Bible, at that reading from Ephesians. It says there that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, and in him you two are being built together. Notice that phrase? You're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So this spiritual building called the church gets its shape and its strength from Christ, and it's a building in which God lives by his Spirit. It's a spiritual building. And every Christian is part of it. If you remember those words, we're built together. You and I come to faith in the Lord from our own background, on our own journey, with our own history. And in a sense, we feel like that's my spiritual journey. But once we become a Christian, we join with everybody else. It's like we've become this next brick in the spiritual building. Now, you've already been told it's 10 years since this building was built. And I can remember walking around this building site many times while the buildings were being constructed. This rammed earth wall behind me, you can see, is very significant in how the building works, because these big long beams rest on the rammed earth wall, and then these beams hold up roofs, and up above the ceiling is all sorts of wiring and technology. And so I watched as this was all connected and everything had to be joined together, and anything that wasn't joined in was removed and is not part of the building now. The leftover bits were taken away. Now, in some ways, that's a metaphor for many people at a church. It is possible to come to a church, to sing the songs, to say the prayers, to enjoy the cup of tea afterwards, and yet not be connected. You come as a bit of a visitor, as a spectator. Now, why is this important? It's important because in a building, everything is connected. The walls support, the roof protects, and everything stands on a strong foundation. And that's a sort of metaphor for us. You're not meant to be alone. You're meant to be built together with other Christians. That's what Paul is saying in Ephesians. We all need the support of one another. The people in front of you today, the people behind you, need you. You need them. Often we need spiritual support. We'll need emotional support. Sometimes we need very practical support and physical support. But you won't get that support if you're not connected. So what's it like to be genuinely connected at a church? One way of thinking about it is it's like being a brick in a building. Another way of thinking about it is it's like being a part of a body. You have to go back to the Romans 12 reading for this one, where Paul says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members," that's many bits of our body, "and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Notice that last phrase. So a church is made up of all sorts of people, like a body is made up of all sorts of parts, arms, legs and lungs, etc. Each part of the body is different and has a different function. A big toe does a different job to a big nose. And we all need both of those, don't we? Like a body, a church is made up of different people who have different roles and giftings. And at the end of verse 5, Paul says, we all belong to each other. This is fighting against our individualism. We all belong together because we're part of one body. And the body needs all of its parts to function if it's going to be a body. Now, why is this important? It's simple, really. When you are connected to a body, you are alive and you grow. In a human body, all the parts work together and grow together. If you cut something off, it dies. Likewise, when you're connected to the body of Christ, you are alive and grow spiritually. And if you're not connected, you will get weaker spiritually, and there is a risk that your faith will slowly die. So, what's it like to be genuinely connected at church? One, it's like being a brick in a building. Secondly, it's like being part of a body. Thirdly, it's like being a member of a family. In the Ephesians reading in verse 19, Paul says, we are members of God's household. Or another way of saying that is we're a member of God's family. The Romans 12 reading, verse 10 says, be devoted to each other in brotherly love. Or another translation says, love each other as brothers and sisters. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15 says, our family is the church of the living God. And 1 Peter 5 9 describes the church as the family of believers throughout the world. We're a spiritual family. We're God's family. You and I each have our biological family, our physical family. You don't get to choose that. You're just born into that. And when you become a Christian, you become part of a spiritual family. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's one of the great gifts of being a Christian. You can go all around the world and you will find brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, here is some important news. As there is no perfect physical family, there is no perfect spiritual family. Every church is made up of imperfect brothers and sisters like you and like me. If you are perfect, please leave. you will only get annoyed by the rest of us. I'm not perfect, and no one else is leaving, so I suspect no one else here is perfect. But if you're not perfect, you can be part of this family. If you have a few issues, if you haven't got everything sorted, then perhaps this is a family for you. If you've got a kangaroo loose in your top paddock, if you're a sandwich short of a picnic, then there is room for you. You don't have to have everything sorted out to be part of this family. Now, why is it important to be part of a spiritual family? Because in a family, the members love each other. When you become a member of St. Alfred's, we ask you to sign a membership covenant. And one of the things you sign up to is this. You say, I will act in love towards the other members of my church. Now, you don't have to like everyone at St. Alfred's, but you have to love them as brothers and sisters. If you're not going to love the other members of this church, don't join here. Please go and bless another church with your unloving intentions. Jesus tells us to love one another, and the perfect place to put that into practice is the local church. And although we're not perfect, we're going to try and do this. So whether you are single or married, young or old, male or female, you have Christian brothers and sisters here who will try their best to love you. But they can't love you if they don't know you. So you have to get connected. What's it like being genuinely connected at church? It's like being a brick in a building, part of a body, a member of a family, and it's like being a sheep in a flock. Psalm 100 verse 3 says this, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." That may not sound too appealing. Sheep are a bit noisy, a bit messy, a bit smelly. But we're sheep. And the point is that when you're in God's flock, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, will care for you, will be in charge of you. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That's how much you matter to God, that Christ would lay down his life for you. Now, why did God choose the flock as an image of what it means to be connected at church? Well, because in a flock, the sheep are protected and cared for. When life gets tough and you need people you can rely on, people at church can be those ones that will support you. They will help you and look out for you. Now, at St. Alfred's, we have official shepherds called staff, people like me, but we also have a lot of other shepherds who are in voluntary or unofficial roles. Many of those are called growth group leaders and ministry leaders. They help care for everybody in the church. There are also people who are gifted in caring for others who don't have a title or a role. They just go about loving people. They're lovely to have in church. But you have to be connected to know them and for them to know you. You may not know it, but at the moment we have about 36 growth groups made up of over 300 baring sheep. Like you, many of you. There are mixed groups, that means male and female. There are groups for men only, women only, young mums, youth, youth leaders, young adults. There are groups that meet most nights of the week and some during the day. Some groups meet each week, some once a fortnight, some 3 weeks out of four. Now, this is the best way to get connected, which is to join a growth group where you'll meet in a smaller group and have people who get to know you and you'll get to know them. So what's it like being genuinely connected at St. Alfred's? It's like being a brick in a building, a part of a body, a member of a family, and a sheep in a flock. I do not want you feeling unloved or unsupported. I will be very disappointed if your testimony about St. Alfred's is, no one took any interest in me, no one cared for me, I had no one who loved me. I will be devastated if that's your reaction. So I want you to be connected. I want you to feel loved and supported. So I'm encouraging you today to get connected. I hope I'm being clear. Now, let me tip this on its head. What's it like not to be connected? Have no real relationships? It's very lonely, isn't it? Life can be very lonely if you have no genuine relationships. Last year, a report came out talking about loneliness in Australia. It said one in four Australians, a quarter of the Australian population, feels lonely every week. And one third of Australians has no friendship group. Just think about that. One third of Australians has no friendship group. Many reasons for this. The report said there are many reasons. I'll just give you a few because some of these might affect you directly. People who are in the workforce often spend a lot of time commuting, and that cuts down on their time for socialising with friends and with family. About 17% of the population live on their own. Mental health, ageing, and divorce rates are all contributors. Socially excluded groups like new migrants, Indigenous people, refugees, and people who identify as LGBTI, all of these may experience higher levels of loneliness. And the last contributing factor I found the most interesting was, ironically, in the age of social media, which supposedly helps people connect, loneliness is higher in the younger people aged 16 to 25. Now, I would add a further reason that wasn't in the report, a further reason why many Australians feel lonely: they don't belong to a church. And the situation is so serious that some reports have talked about an epidemic of loneliness. And if this is the direction our culture is going in, then the church is definitely countercultural. Because in a church, we get to have relationships, we get to belong, we have community, we can get to know one another and share life together. And this is really good news for us. God knows we're not meant to be alone. Even if we live alone, if we are a Christian, we have a community of brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not trying to argue you to be a member of this church, but if you're a Christian, you need to be connected to a church somewhere, and that church will become like your extended family. The studies show that this is good for us physically, suggests that we live longer if we have positive relationships, and it's good for us emotionally and spiritually. Nearly 20 years ago, a chap by the name of Dr. Edward Halliwell wrote a book simply called Connect, not a Christian book as far as I know. And in it he said, and he was talking about the American culture, but I think that this is as true for Australia as America. He said, "We are a nation of doers. We hurry from place to place, filling our lives with all kinds of activities, sometimes overscheduling our kids and ourselves. But what really sustains us emotionally, psychologically, and physically is connectedness, the feeling that we're part of something that matters, something larger than ourselves that gives life meaning." So, one of the essentials for life is to be connected to one another. God has made us this way. And I'm just going to ask one member of St. Alfred's to briefly give his little perspective on this. So I'm going to ask Lindsay Foreman, if Lindsay, you'd come up.
Hello.
Give us your perspective on this, Lindsay.
Okay. I joined the men's group that meets on Tuesdays, and it's led by James McIntosh. We're quite a diverse group, various coloured bricks on our wall. We've got James, who's actually from Australia, with the rest of us are from around the globe. We've got England, Italy, Rwanda, South Korea, and myself from New Zealand. So it's interesting backgrounds. But we have many things in common, even ages of children and going through various stages. Now, when I came over with family about 5 years ago to Melbourne, we don't have any family here, and we didn't have any connections here. When we came to the local church, it was very unusual for us because we've been so involved in the church in Auckland. And to come here and not know anyone was quite stark. Joined a group. Mike suggested the men's group that I joined. And that certainly led into a community, not only studying the Word of God, but also working, sitting, meeting with a group of guys week to week, and it's been great support over the years. One of the hardest things for coming over to Australia was that I had elderly parents in Auckland and back in New Zealand. My father passed away about 6 months after I came here, and my mother passed away last year. Now, she was 94. It was very hard to be over here when they're over there. Now, I had the support, of course, of my family, but also it was really just the study group and the support of those guys that made it far more bearable. There's no other meeting that I was having, no other reference point to give support, to ask questions, to show interest, and just give prayerful support. So that's just one of the aspects of support that I've received. There's usually ongoing work dramas and so on that can be prayed for, but it's been very beneficial to me to be part of that group.
Great. Thank you to Lindsay. Thanks very much. Let me finish. If you're not a member of a growth group yet and would like to join up, all you need to do is, after today's service, speak to Mike McNamara or Graham Young in the foyer, and there's a form you can fill in and give it to them. Or if you want to, you can go onto our website and follow the links to get involved. The heading will be Get Involved, and then you'll see something there for growth groups. If you are in a growth group, I just want to say well done. And if you're leading a growth group, we really, really thank you. Our growth group leaders are a very significant part of this church. I just want to encourage you in your groups to do the hard work of getting to know each other. Don't allow it to remain superficial. Really, really push one another. Try and help one another to follow the Lord in all those aspects of life. So thank you to everyone. And like I said, if you're not in one and would like to get connected, then please do so this morning. Thank you very much.